and the whole list. Look at John chapter 4 in your Bibles with me today. Our doctrine for the day is the doctrine of angels. There are holy angels that are God's servants, and there are demons that are Satan's servants. We're not told specifically in the Bible exactly at the time they were created in the creation, but they sang for God in praise as He laid the foundations of the earth. So He had created the angels by His word, and they are eternal beings that are spirit. People don't become angels after they die. I've known some folks, and they just determine, you know, their child died or something, he's an angel now. It helps them to think that, but that doesn't happen. People don't become angels, and angels don't become people. We are separate beings. They can take on the appearance of a man, as they did several times in the Bible, but they are still different beings. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, Jesus said, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Father, as we look into Your Word today, we want to exalt our God, and we want to explain something about angels and demons. And I pray for Your protection as we dig into this realm that is the spiritual realm. And we pray You'll give us understanding. Help us to be strong in the faith and serve You and live for You and be equipped and prepared for what we may face in life. Bless Your people today for coming to church, and for those who are watching at home, we pray a blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. God is spirit. Jesus took on flesh. He was in the spirit realm before He became a man and took on flesh. But God is spirit. And spirit beings, the angels, were created by Him to be His servants and His messengers. Let's look at a few verses, and if we have time, we'll look at a lot of scripture today dealing with this subject, and some of it I'll just make reference to for the time's sake. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 4. The Bible compares the Lord Jesus to angels in the book of Hebrews, and it tells us that He is better than angels. He's superior to them. It says in verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And it gives us several reasons that Jesus is exalted above the angels. Verse 14, it says of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Something that's difficult for us to understand and comprehend is the foreknowledge of God. And that God created the worlds, and God knew exactly what was going to happen with man, what man would do. And God has created all these angels by the myriads to minister to all who will become the heirs of salvation. God has a plan, and God is working His plan. And as He created the angels, He created them with the multitude to do His bidding and to minister to us who are to become those who get saved. In chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 of Hebrews, the scripture says, and again He bringeth into the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He saith, who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. But under the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Hebrews, if you hadn't read it lately, is a great book to exalt the Lord And it compares him. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Joshua, who couldn't give a permanent rest to his people, but Christ can give a permanent rest to us. And it compares him in that manner to exalt him. And I love the Lord being exalted. Now, there is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, appearances where they may be the Christ pre-incarnate. Before he took on flesh, he may have made appearances. In the book of Genesis, chapter 16, we find one of those such appearances and what took place there with Hagar when Abraham's wife Sarah cast her out because she became pregnant with Abraham's child, and her attitude toward her mistress changed. And she began to look prideful and disrespectful to Sarah. And Sarah went to Abraham with this problem. And Abraham, she's in your hand, do as you please. And so she made her feel very uncomfortable, and she left in chapter 16. And let's look at verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And she said, the Lord who met with her, she called him, verse 13, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? So she probably would have died there in the wilderness. And the angel told her to go back and submit herself to Sarah. God has a plan and a purpose even for men who are not saved and do not ever get saved. God's plan and purpose, they will eventually come under his judgment. But God has used those nations with the nation of Israel, and they are still living today, the seed of Abraham, both through Ishmael and through Isaac. And they are cousins, and they don't get along at all today any more than they did in the early days. And there's always conflict there, but the Lord is to be exalted. In the little book of Jude, just before Revelation, verse 9, the Bible says that Michael, the archangel, disputed with Satan over the body of Moses. Moses died and God buried him. And I have often thought about that and figured that if Israel had known the place where Moses was buried, they would have made a shrine out of it and they'd worshiped it because they thought that much of Moses. But Hebrews explains very clearly Jesus is even greater than Moses. And he is to be worshiped, but Moses is to be appreciated. And so the angel, archangel Michael, did not go to war with the devil. He disputed with him, but his comment to him was, the Lord rebuke thee. Now we know the day is coming where Michael will cast out Satan and all of his angels in a war in heaven that will take place in the book of Revelation. But he did not start that war then, and he was not disrespectful. He simply said, the Lord rebuke thee. And people a lot of times take it upon themselves to try to make war with Satan. And they try to say, you know, take that, you devil, and let's give the devil a punch in the eye and things of that nature. The Bible teaches that we are not to speak evil of dignities and that we're to recognize God has a plan and a purpose. Everything that's evil and wicked and wrong, Satan is behind it. And we'll see some of that in the use of his angels in the scriptures this morning. In Job 38, we find the context of the angels that were created and how they sang to give glory to God at the creation of the earth. In the book of Job, chapter 38 and verse 4. God's talking to Job, and he said, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest, or who hath stretched a line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Is a reference to the angelic beings giving God praise in his creation of the earth. And God questioned Job to show him where his position really is, not to be giving God advice or complaining to God about his circumstance. Instead, give God praise and thanks, and God would bring him through the difficulty that he was in. The psalmist had much to say about the angels and their praise of God. If you want to look there, I'm turning to Psalm 148. I put a lot of paper clips in my Bible today thinking it would make turning faster, but it's not helping me. It's working against me, I think. Psalm 148, and beginning with verse 2. Speaking of praising the Lord in this psalm, "Praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun, moon, praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass away." God created the angels with his word the same way he created the worlds. And he created them to live forever and ever. Now imagine the angels have been around the whole time this universe has been in play. And they are doing God's will. They hadn't got tired of serving God. We find them in Revelation giving him praise and adoration and worship. Psalm 104 and verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire." So God has created the angels to be his servants, to be his ministers, to be his messengers to man on the earth. Angels are spirits, but in the Old Testament, in several occasions, they had power to appear as men to give messages to people, to Abraham, to Lot in Sodom, and others as they appeared. Revelation 19, verse 9 and 10, John was receiving instructions from a being in heaven, and he thought he was an angel, and he was going to bow down to this angel and give him worship. And the man said, "No, do not do this. I am of your brethren. I'm one of you. I'm a man." He had not yet received his glorified body, as we will. He was a spirit, but he was there in heaven and giving instructions to John, and John almost worshiped him until he explained to him that he was a man. In the Gospel of Luke, if you'll turn there with me in chapter 1 and verse 28 and 29, you remember this is the story of the angel Gabriel, who also is one of the named angels in the Bible. Verse 26 says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Gabriel brought the message to Mary. Gabriel was visible for her to see, audible so she could hear. He explained to her that she would give birth to the Savior, the Son of God. And he explained to her how this would take place. She questioned, if she had never known a man, how could she give birth to a child? And he explained to her that with man this is impossible, but with God nothing is impossible. And the Holy Ghost would overshadow her and implant within her that holy seed of God. And Jesus would be the Son of God, born through a woman, without the sinful nature of man that all the rest of the world bears because of Adam's sin in the garden. At the tomb, when Christ was resurrected from the dead, one of the Gospels explains there were two angels visible there that the people saw who were looking for Jesus at the tomb after the resurrection, John 20 and verse number 12. Back in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 through 3, visible men came to Abraham to tell him that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed, and they sat and ate with Abraham. I'm kind of impressed that we might still get to eat when we go to heaven. We're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb with the Lord, and whatever we eat, it'll be good. In Matthew 22, verse 29 through 30, Jesus taught that angels do not reproduce. That when we get to heaven, we'll be like the angels in the sense that we will not marry and not be given in marriage, and we will not raise children. In Luke 20, verse 34 through 36, he gives another explanation of this. They also do not die. They are eternal. All the angels, both the angels of the Lord, the holy angels as they're referred to, and the angels that follow Satan, who are the demons of the world, all of them are eternal. And all of the angelic beings that turn from God will be cast in the lake of fire forever and forever with all of the unsaved world. Anytime you start thinking about the great judgment that will come, I'm so thankful that I've been saved and kept by the power of God, and I don't have to worry about going to hell. And we are eternal beings. We will live forever. Hebrews 12, 22 speaks of being upon Mount Zion, the city of the living God, and there's the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, so many that we could not number them. Daniel saw a vision of this in the book of Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 9. He saw the Ancient of Days, and he saw 10,000 times 10,000 ministering unto him and serving him. Jesus said he could pray when he was going to the cross. Peter, don't you understand? I could pray right now for 12 legions of angels to come and set me free and destroy the world. How then would your sin be dealt with? Could you be saved? How would the payment for man's sin take place without Christ going to the cross? He made it clear he had that power and the angels had that ability, but he would not call upon them to set him free. He would experience the suffering and the shame of the death on Calvary, his burial, to perform his resurrection, and to have made payment for us at the throne of God in heaven, that our sins are cleansed and forgiven and washed away. These angelic beings serve God day and night. They worship him at his throne. If you don't familiar with that, you want to see something about it, Revelation 5 and verse 11. Chapter 7 and verse 11, the living beasts or creatures of heaven that fall down before him, and all of the elders that fall down and cast their crowns at his feet and worship him and give him praise. These are always subject to God. They are his spirit ministers that do his bidding and accomplish his will. They possess great power and might, as much as God will send them to do, He provides for them the power to be able to do. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 19, some of you already know where I'm going. God said the king of Assyria will not come into the city. Chapter 19, verse 34, I believe it is. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians and 185,000. That's 185,000 of the troops died in one night because the angel of the Lord went among them and killed them. And they were all dead corpses when the morning came around. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of his false god, Nisroch, that two of his sons smote him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon and his son reigned in his stead. He was going against God. He was going to wipe out the people of God. He was going to destroy the city, and God put a stop to it. God did not allow that southern kingdom to go into the captivity that the northern kingdom had gone into, because at least for a period of time they stood closer to God and worshiped God. Isaiah had great influence on them as the prophet of God in their day, and they sought the Lord for their help, and God helped them and delivered them. God defended the city, and God smote them through the angel of the Lord. Secondly, there are types of angels. The word cherubim, as we pronounce it in English, CH is most always in the Bible pronounced as a K. And coming from the Greek, it would be cherubim. And they are the angelic beings that are a little different than what we think of as angels. If you want to turn with me in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Chapter 1 in Ezekiel, verse 4. Ezekiel is in the spirit. I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire unfolding itself. The brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not where they went, and they went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion. And on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were the faces and the wings stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined to one another, and two covered their bodies. Now these were the cherubim. These were the angelic beings that had special place with God to serve in special functions. And these cherubim, in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse number 6, it is translated referring to them as beasts, which usually is defined simply as living creatures. And the Bible says in Revelation 4, 6, that they give God honor, and they had the same four faces as these beings in the book of Ezekiel. There's another type of angel called seraphim. Very common passage in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah looked up and saw the Lord high and lifted up above the temple, on his throne, and the seraphim were there. And each one had six wings. With two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, with two they did fly. And the seraphim means burners. These light bearers were powerful, and they have to do with giving glory to God continuously. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Now, we have a couple of angels in the Bible that are named. Michael, the archangel, means one who is like God. And Gabriel, the man of God, who stands in the presence of the Lord, who was the messenger to come for Elizabeth to give birth to John the Baptist and for Mary to give birth to Christ. And then Lucifer means the son of the morning. Lucifer was an anointed cherub. He had a special place and special duties. But because of his beauty, he developed pride that he desired to be worshiped as God was worshiped. And so he was taken out of his position. Michael the archangel is one of the chief princes that came to Daniel. And he said he was hindered in coming unto him in chapter 10 and verse 13. It's amazing to me that an angel can be hindered. But you see, there is a spiritual warfare going on above us. Thank God we are protected. Thank God for His provision. But there are those that would destroy us, like Satan, who seeks those whom he may devour like a roaring lion. Satan, Lucifer, the son of the morning, he was a light bearer. But he became Satan, who is the adversary, and the devil, who is the slanderer. In Revelation 12:9, he's called the old serpent, referring to the Garden of Eden. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, he's called the small g, God of this present world. This is his realm because Adam and Eve sinned and allowed him to have power in this world. He's called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. Revelation 22, he's called the dragon and the angel of light. He can take on the appearance of light, and his ministers can appear as ministers of light. This deals with false teachers and those that would teach a message that people can be saved in ways other than the gospel message. And I say to you, that's why we are so adamantly opposed to false teaching, because Satan is behind it. His desire is for men to be corrupt and to fall and to be deceived. In 2 Corinthians, he is called the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them before the throne of God day and night. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said about Satan that he was the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning. He was the originator of lies. Matthew 12 refers to him as Beelzebub, meaning the prince of demons. Prince means ruler. Thirdly, he has access to God to slander believers. We have a hard time understanding that. People say, well, the devil's in hell. No, he's not there yet. The day's coming, he will be, but he's not there yet. God allows him to have a heavenly realm, to come before his throne and to accuse us when we sin. Job 1 and 2 makes this clear. But the day will come in Revelation 12 where Michael will cast him down and all his followers with him. Satan and the demons are the dark side of spirituality. They are guilty of sorcery in Acts chapter 8, of witchcraft in Galatians 5:20. They use pharmakeia. That means a pharmacist. That means drugs. Drugs and Satan, it is obvious to us, cannot be separated. He has used the use of drugs with people to cloud their minds, to allow them to become possessed and used of the devil in many ways. The drug addicts that take drugs that alter their mind and it take them in amounts that medical doctors would never write a pharmacy prescription for or allow, they overdo it. They steal pads and write prescriptions. They buy them on the street. We've heard of hundreds of people coming in extreme serious health or death because of some of the drugs that are coming across the border as all these people come across from the nations from Mexico down to South America. And as many of them come, they're bringing some of these drugs with them from the cartels to sell for money, to be able to get a place to live, get a job, whatever. And many of these drugs are laced so that the people who take them are either dead or they suffer a great physical harm. And that is how Satan uses the drugs. I take a number of prescription meds every day. I take a 80 milligram cholesterol lowering medicine once a night. It is called Astorstatin. 80 milligrams. I asked the doctor, can I get this lowered? Nope. You got the heart condition, you need to stay on it. You need to keep your heart where your bad cholesterol is lower than 60. If you keep your bad cholesterol lower than 60, then it will be like you don't have the effect of coronary artery disease. And so my last test, my cholesterol was 107. My bad cholesterol was in the low 50s. And so that's exactly where the doctors want to keep it. And so I take that every day. It has prolonged my life. It is helping me. And I take a couple of other medicines for the same reason. Blood pressure medicine, lisinopril, I take 10 milligrams of that every day. It does not have any side effect on me. It keeps my blood pressure good. And you see, prescriptions from doctors and pharmacists working together with them, and the drug companies have created medicines that have prolonged life, given us more quality of life and health. But when they are abused, when they're sold on the streets, when they're sold to get people high, when they're sold so people do terrible things under the influence of them, Satan is behind the use of them. There is necromancy that the demons are guilty of, the speaking to the dead, fortune tellers and diviners who are possessed of demons who actually have some influence in the demonic spiritual realm of the dark side of spirituality. Those poor people who are foolish enough to become seeking power or through their sins allow Satan a foothold in their life are in dangerous territory. Now, they're called familiar spirits in Leviticus, unclean spirits in Mark, evil spirits in Luke, seducing spirits in 1 Timothy chapter 4, foul spirits in Mark chapter 9. And 2 Peter 2:4 tells us about a host of the angels that are kept in chains waiting for the day that God will use them briefly and they will go into the pit, into everlasting destruction. There's a lot more I could say this morning. Thank God He created the holy angels who have ministered to us, protected us, overshadowed us, guided us some ways before we came to know the Lord as our Savior to protect us so that we'd come to that day where we would be saved and receive the Spirit of God and worship Christ. But there are demonic spirits, my friend. Let's stay away from that realm. Let's do what God has told us to do. Submit to the Lord and refuse Satan, and he will flee from us. God is good, my friends. Angels in heaven. I'm excited about seeing them one day. Men and angels together in Revelation are worshiping the Lord. And we'll be there to sing songs and praise. And there's something about how the Holy Spirit works in us when we get saved. The angels desire to look into. That they don't go through that salvation experience that we do. And we who are the children of God will sit in the place of judgment upon angels in the future to come. God bless the teaching about holy angels and Satan's angels, demons. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for your people being here today. Bless them for the knowledge of the word, we pray. Help us to walk with you and serve you and please you and be thankful, and help us to not get Satan a foothold in our life with sins. And Lord, receive our praise, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.